morning out there. How's everyone doing on this day, the Lord's Day, here in the great land of Lincoln? I want to thank everyone for tuning in this morning. Today we have an exciting lineup this morning. It was sure to excite you and ignite you. We have Dr. Whit Walker. Mrs. Walker's going to, she's the president of the Harold Washington Legacy Committee. We were followed by Marion Beatty, who will talk about the hiring fair that we have. Come prepared to work. And then Dr. Arubakar, she will be on to talk about our women, lost women, and how we can, you, if you have someone that is lost or missing, how you can reclaim them, coming up on this Saturday the 20th. And then finally, Dr. Philip Fairweather and his Entrepreneur Academy. In addition to, we're going to talk about the OJ, Mr. OJ, who passed away this past weekend. And then, of course, our good friend Karen Yarborough, we're going to honor her. Our first guest, Mrs. Walker. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
How are you today? I'm doing wonderful on this beautiful Sunday.
Yes, wonderful to hear from you.
Yes, thank you. And you as well.
All right, good morning. So we're really tight this morning, so we're going to jump right on in. Let's let it rock, let it roll, let it rip.
All righty.
So you're the president of the Harold Washington Foundation, and what are the important things that you want to say that's going on this week? And then we're going to come back into a more detailed introduction of yourself. What are those three things you wanted to make sure the listening audience are aware of?
The three things are, first of all, we are the Mayor Harold Washington Legacy Committee. The foundation is different. And so we're having an event with the Harold Washington College on this Monday, in celebration of his commemoration of his 102nd birthday. And then on Wednesday, we will be with the Harold Washington Library for a tour of the library and the Punch 9 documentary. And on next Saturday, we will have the Roosevelt University Legacy Brunch, where we will be giving and honoring the second student from Roosevelt University to receive the Harold Washington Scholarship.
Exciting. And how can they get this information? What are they called, or Google, or email to?
They can go onto our website at mhwlc.org, or they can go to our website, our Facebook page, the Mayor Harold Washington Legacy Committee. And
all right.
Or they can call at 312-415-7536.
All right. We will come back to that number. And so tell me about your committee, the Mayor Harold Washington Committee, who I loved, who we, this great city, owe in the world owe much to. And how old will he be on Monday?
So if the great mayor was living, he would be 102 years old. And the Mayor Harold Washington Legacy Committee was formed 10 years ago with our former past president, Josie Brown Child. And with the idea, because we found out at that time, young people didn't know who Harold Washington was. And that was just 10 years ago.
Wow.
So make sure that his legacy is preserved. And so, you know, there's several places around the city and the state that are named for him. And so we are here to ensure that that continues.
And it was only 10 years ago that you formed.
Yes.
And since that time, what have been some of your activities?
So we have done, we continue to do annually the Come Alive October 5 Voters Registration Drive. The Come Alive Voter Registration Drive, that came along with Harold's, when we started the campaign for him to become mayor over 40 years ago. And we do an annual wreath-laying ceremony on the day of his death, which is the day before Thanksgiving. We do that every year to honor and have speakers at the Oakwood Cemetery. And, of course, we partnered with Roosevelt University because that was Harold's alma mater.
Yes.
And we partnered with them and created the Harold Washington Legacy Scholarship 2 years ago.
So there's a scholarship that gives out each year for the last 10 years, or most recently?
No. Yeah, the last 2 years we have. And so that we just started.
Excellent, excellent. And who are some of the members that serve on your committee?
We have Dr. Barbara Norman. We have who was the former Mayor Washington staff person, along with myself, and Andrea Smith, who's our media public relations person. And we have Stanley Young, Arietta Batiste, Clarence Jenkins, and Emma Young. A lot. Those are the people who worked on the campaign or worked in Mayor Washington's administration. And just this past month, 2 months, we've been doing a recruitment for new members. And so we just 11 new people have come aboard to serve with us on the committee.
Wonderful. And when is the inaugural of these new 11 members that will serve
tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow morning at the Harold Washington College.
Understood.
At Harold Washington College tomorrow morning, they will unveil the mural that has been created for Mayor Washington on the first floor of Harold Washington College. And the college will do that as well as we will welcome the new members.
And this just happened to be the same weekend. Well, not the same. Well, the weekend of the burial of Karen Yarborough. Who also was, yes.
Yes, because tomorrow would officially be his birthday, that's why we try to keep it in the forefront of people's minds, you know, to celebrate. And we have, and I didn't mention that Mayor Washington's niece, her name is Karen Stone, and she's also one of the committee members. And
wow.
So and she lives in California, and she's still on the committee, and she's very happy that we are continuing this. The family is very happy.
I never knew he had a niece. I mean, I'm sure that we should have known, but I myself am a longtime Harold Washington member. I worked with Harold since I was 12 years old, and
okay.
I was one of his original coordinators, and myself and
the young
Helen
Democrat.
Johnson. Well, I was just one of those 40 to 50 members of Harold who held Washingtonians that went out there and changed the world. And we were committed every day,
yeah.
Every night to working 24/7. In fact, many of them, we lost wives, family, friends because of our commitment.
Yes, we have. And I think, you know, those of us who are probably 70 and over are the last ones that are still here and still fighting this cause to make sure that his legacy continues and that his name is out there, because like you, I work the streets passing out flyers and doing all of that, you know, and it all paid off when we had the crusade for him to become mayor, the first African-American mayor of the city of Chicago.
All right. So to wrap up again, we should make sure to give your contact information again. And I really appreciate you coming on this morning, Mrs. Woods.
And we thank you for allowing us to be on to talk about this important venture. And so we can be contacted at the mhwlc.org or the Facebook page, the Mayor Harold Washington Legacy Committee, and or call at 312-415-7536.
One more time.
312-415-7536.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I look forward. I will see you on Monday. And our prayers to Mayor Harold Washington, who is still my mayor.
Okay. All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Good morning. And who do we have? I'm shocked. I'm surprised. Who do I have on this line?
Good morning, Al. This is Marion Baby from Chicago Plus Workforce Partnership.
And you're going to share with us some exciting news.
Oh, yes, and I'm extremely excited. This Tuesday, April 16th, is our 7th annual Hospitality High of Chicago. And when I say Hospitality High of Chicago, we are going to hire right there on the spot. located at the Palmer House, 17 East Monroe Street, right there, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have approximately 65 employers that will be hiring. And right now, my job seeker registration, which we're excited about because we're putting people to work, is over 800 people that have registered for this event.
And how should we come dressed? And where are we coming to?
You're coming at the game.
Well, just a moment. Just a moment, my friend. I have music in my ears, so that means it is time to pay our bills.
Okay.
We will be back after the commercial.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Socott Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Socott Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Good morning. Welcome back to my Community Plan Foundation, my world as we see it. And we're back to our hiring fair from Marion Beatty from Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership. Before we go much further, can you give us how we can reach you and where are we going? Not to a lineup fair, to a hiring fair.
Yes, it's called a hired event. Again, that's Tuesday, April 16th at the Palmer House Hilton Hotel, located right downtown at 17 East Monroe Street. 17 East Monroe Street, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. If you'd like to register for this event, that's at shycookworks.org. Go on the HHC tag, and you'll be able to register. We ask that you do register, but if you happen to just walk in, you must be dressed for success. You must bring at least 10 resumes, because, again, we have 65 employers that are ready to hire right there, right then, and give you a conditional offer. That's what sets us apart between career fairs or job fairs, that these employers' expectation and our expectation is to have hires right then, right there, on the spot, changing people's lives and empowering our community.
Exciting. So come dress for success. Come dress to get work. So if you got a crumb snatcher at home that you need to get work, have them come this coming Tuesday on the 16th to the, what's that address again?
17 East Monroe, right downtown.
That sounds like the Palmer House.
That's the Palmer House Hotel. And if we're going to give an event like this, we want people to see the environment of the hospitality that they're going to be in. Al, if you'd be so kind, I'd just like to give a shout-out to our sponsors, because these sponsors and employers do a buy-in on this event. The Palmer House is a very luxurious hotel, so we want to make sure you are aware of what the hospitality, culture, and environment is about. No other than our sponsors are Cook County, Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership, City of Chicago, Chicago Loop Alliance, Choose Chicago, Illinois Hotel and Lodging Association, Illinois Restaurant Association, the Magnificent Mile Association, Near South Planning Board. As our sponsors, their members are also in this hiring event. So just think of the members of these established sponsors that are sponsoring this, that are members that own businesses that are going to hire at this event. So not only is this Cook County, the city, all of the sponsors will have members that will be hiring. So that's one of the reasons why the sponsors are on board, too. It's our 7 year, and the majority of these sponsors have been with us 7 years. To tout our success, I want you to understand this is a hiring event. And through the 7 years, we've assisted more than 385 employers. We've helped more than 900 people get hired. And we have also had more than 1,000 pre-screened ready candidates to come through our doors. So that in itself says why we are here and we're continuing our 7th annual Hospitality Hire Chicago.
I think we ought to give that lady a clap. And I understand that some of the dignitaries that will be there include Mayor Johnson.
Well, we're hoping that he will pass through the threshold and say hello, along with our president, who's never missed a Hospitality Hire Chicago, President Tony Preckwinkle, and then other dignitaries and CEOs of these sponsors. They want to come and they want to see the hiring that is taking place of this magnificent way again to keep our communities empowered by giving people employment right there, right then on the spot. And just to say thank you.
And in addition to that, those who get a job, they'll also be able to register for your other various forms of services that are being offered by Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership.
Yes, and we discussed that with the employer. Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership is a holistic organization. We leave no business behind and no job seeker behind. So if you are hired and you are still in need of a uniform or some of our wraparound services, we are able to even get you a bus card to get to that job until you get that first paycheck.
You don't say.
We can assist you with that. Then again, for our employers, if you find you got a person that needs a little extra push to learn a machine or to learn something about the culture of your own business, we have what is called OJT. That's on-the-job training for the business to help you so we can make that match between the employer and the business. And when that match is made, it's a match that we look at as a career pathway. I want to make a very good point. Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership, we're not a staffing agency. We just don't throw you somebody and hope they stick. We are a retention agency. That means when we pre-screen that job seeker, we want them to retain at your employment and have a career pathway.
You don't say, girl. You don't just throw somebody and hope it sticks to the wall.
No, we're looking for 30, 60, 90 days, and we even track the people that we refer to you to see, because if there's a challenge, we want to know that challenge. If they're not good for your team, we want to bring them back and then skill them up to make them good for another team. That's what we call ourselves being holistic, being in and being a resource for the business and for the job seeker, which empowers our community.
Excellent, excellent. And that number to the Workforce Partnership and
The number again to the Workforce Partnership is 312-603-0200. But again, to register is Shy Cook Works. Make sure you put an S on the end of works.org, and you'll see the HHC button. But more than that, if grandma, you're listening on the phone and the registration goes down, we do accept walk-ins. Just make sure they're dressed for success and they have 10 resumes, and we'll be able to assist them. Thank you so much, Al, for this opportunity and keeping our hope alive in our community and keeping people aware with the resources you're bringing them from this program. HHC, Hospitality Hire Chicago, April 16th 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Palmer House Hilton, located Tuesday at 17 East Monroe Street. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's wonderful. That sounds like a PSA. Thank you very much for coming on this morning and bringing it to us this morning, Miriam Bailey, the specialist for Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership. And again, this coming Tuesday, Dress for Success and Come Prepared to Get Employed. And I'm going to transition in just a moment to our next guest. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in this Sunday morning to My Community Plan Foundation. Our next guest will be Dr. Aruvakar. Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
So do me a favor and pronounce your entire name for me, for the listening audience. Educate us all.
Sure. I'm Dr. Poni Arun Kumar. I'm the Chief Medical Examiner at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office.
Yes, indeed. How long have you been there?
I have been there for 20 years.
20 years. Wow. Well, we certainly know you've helped build the place.
Thank you.
And I understand that there are some challenges here in Cook County, in particular for women, that we're going to address as part of your office for here on the April the 20th.
Yes. So there are individuals from our communities who go missing under various circumstances, leaving behind families and loved ones who go through immense distress and uncertainty. We're hosting Missing Persons Day to remember the individuals whose whereabouts are unknown, provide access to efforts to address this issue, and provide support to families, including counseling. We hosted our first Missing Persons Day in Cook County on May 20th, 2017. In 2022, according to the National Crime Information Center, there were 97,127 active missing persons records, with 30,522 records for children under 18. Government agencies like us, law enforcement bodies, community organizations, and individuals play a critical role in resolving missing persons cases quickly and providing compassionate assistance to families left behind. We at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office are hosting Missing Persons Day on April 20th, 2024, which is the coming Saturday, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. to help families and friends of a person who is missing more than 1 month. This event is hosted at the Medical Examiner's Office, which is located at 2121 West Harrison Street. Families or friends of missing people can call us at 312-666-0500 if they have any questions and to RSVP their attendance on Saturday, April 20th. They can also email us if they prefer with any questions at medical.examiner@cookcountyil.gov. So this event, again, is for family and friends of a person missing more than 1 month. This is a free event for the public. The families and friends can enter information into the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System. We refer to this as NAMIS. They can provide DNA samples. They can connect with counselors and other families. And they can also report family members or friends missing more than 1 month if they have not done so previously, because there are multiple police agencies, including Chicago Police, Cook County Sheriff's Police, and the Illinois State Police Agency at the event. And so the missing persons reports can be filed on site. What we ask for families and friends to help solve their missing persons cases is to bring identification photographs, the photographs of the face or any photographs they may have of the missing person. They should bring x-rays, any hospital records they have, any dental records they have, any other identifying documents like driver's license, passport, anything that they have that can help identify the missing person. Missing person can be brought to the event. We would like biologically related family members, like so this would be parents or siblings, if they're present, to come to the event so they can provide DNA samples. These are swabs of the mouth that can be entered into the NAMIS, that is the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System. It can also be run in our rapid DNA machine, which we have in-house and are using currently. If they have any missing persons reports or other police reports, they should bring them with them at the event. If they do not have missing persons reports, they can file these missing persons reports on site at the event between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. If they have hairbrushes or toothbrushes of the missing person, they can bring them as well because they will have DNA of the missing person. There are multiple agencies who are at the event on Saturday to help families and friends of missing people. These include staff from the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System.
Doctor.
Staff. Yes.
Dr. Ruvikar, thank you for all that information. I don't want you to go anywhere. There's music in my ears, which means it is time for my Community Planning Foundation to pay our monthly bill. So would you hold on the line? All of you, keep to your radios or to your phones, and we'll be right back from My Community Plan Foundation. We're going to a commercial.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your health care provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Hello, this is Karen Carruthers, My Community Plan Foundation nutritionist, coming to you today on this awesome Sunday with your generational health tip. I'd like to talk to you about the benefits of eating oatmeal. Oatmeal is naturally and nutritionally rich. It has more protein than most grains, and it also has numerous vitamins and minerals. It contains antioxidants and soluble fiber, and that soluble fiber aids in promoting regular emptying of the bowel and prevents constipation. Also, there's so many different varieties and different ways that you can make oatmeal cookies. You can cook your oatmeal for breakfast in the morning. You can sprinkle a few oats in your morning smoothie. And also make sure you're getting in plenty of water and exercise, as well as rest on a daily basis. This is Karen Carruthers, My Community Plan Foundation nutritionist. Thank you.
Are you a homeowner or a senior, disabled, or a veteran? You may be eligible to save money on your property taxes right now. Hi, I'm Fritz Kagey, your Cook County Assessor. Applying for property tax savings is easy and free at cookcountyassessor.com. Review your eligibility, receive in-person assistance, or apply right now for property tax savings at cookcountyassessor.com. That's cookcountyassessor.com.
Welcome back with Dr. Arun Kumar as we're talking about Missing Persons Day this coming Saturday on the 20th. and the various ways in which you can help that day be successful. And we want to help you if you have someone missing. Over 19,700 missing persons. And there's also over 30,000 kids under 17. And if you have someone that's missing and or you want to assist people that are missing, you can go on April the 20th, the 2121 West Harrison on this coming Saturday. And that number is 312-666-0500. Dr. Arubakar, would you kindly fill us in on some other details? And I believe this young lady deserves a clap for service to the community.
Thank you.
This is definitely hard work, and it's not an easy thing to always talk about. What is it like in the room when people come in and they're talking about this very difficult, thorny issue?
All our staff at our office have the mission of service to the community. We want to serve the families of the missing and sometimes deceased in the best way we can. We're the last physicians who see these people, and we want to do the best we can to give them answers. And to that effect, we're also trying to host Missing Persons Day to help families who are missing people who don't know where they are. We are hosting this on Saturday, April 20th, and we have multiple agencies to help families and friends missing people for more than a month. So we have agencies like the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System. We have staff from the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, staff from the Chicago Missing Persons Guild, the Consulate General of Poland, the Consulate General of Mexico, Red Cross, Salvation Army, and all the different police agencies in Illinois, including the Cook County Sheriff's Police Department, Chicago Police Department, Illinois State Police Department, and the FBI to help assist families and friends on April 20th. Again, it is a free event. All we ask for families and friends to help identify their missing person is to bring information they have that could help identify them, like photographs, in hospital records or dental records, and any other records like driver's license that can help identify them. It is on Saturday between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And apart from, filing missing persons reports that families know to do, they can also submit DNA samples that is not available to them at the different police agencies, but they can do so at our office on April 20th. This would be that final step that they can take to help find out any whereabouts of their missing person. So thank you for having me today.
So if someone has a missing person, they have to be missing for at least 24 hours or 30 days?
30 days, because many times people come back after a day or a week. They may have, they may be upset and leave the house. But they usually come back. So the services will, be most useful for families and friends who are missing somebody for more than a month, for more than 30 days or around 30 days or a month.
So after 30 days, if you know of someone who is missing a loved one, we can inform them and then encourage them to bring these items and come to on Saturday. And then upon that, you guys will accumulate this information. And what's the next step after they turn the information in on Saturday?
Once they give us the information and it gets entered into the National Missing Persons Database, if they can provide DNA samples, those are entered as well. Our office has that rapid DNA machine, so we'll run the DNA samples as well. During their process of coming to our office, we take the families and friends' information
and we will call them if we get any results or any closure on their missing person. So we take their phone number, emails, any contact information they have, and we'll call them back whenever we find any information about that missing person. It could be, you know, in a day, a few days, or maybe years, if the missing person's DNA gets entered years later. So if they're found years later, that can be matched to the family who has come in on Saturday. Their DNA can get matched to the missing person's DNA, and the family gets contacted. So it's not something where they will get an answer right away, but it could take some time for the families to get answers. But what they can also do during that time period is to have resources to help them, you know, handle the stress emotionally, to get any support they can. All these agencies that provide support will be there on Saturday.
So on Saturday, you have all the support groups and support agencies. They get their information registered, and then over the long term, as you see these cold cases, as we will call them, by lack of a better word, if someone is doing a research, they are found someone who gets arrested and they check it against the database, then this information would then, of course, show up. So you either get closure or you'll find out. It allows a pool of information that can be connected to other efforts that are going on around the world that we may not be aware of.
That is absolutely correct, because their information, the family's information, is into the national database for missing people. So it gets matched with missing persons all over the country.
Oh, wow. Exciting. And but it is a trauma for the families. And then are they able to sign up for groups that would otherwise they could then follow up with that may into the counseling to help them deal with this trauma?
Yes. So they can get some support the same day, but also sign up for support, in the days and years to come, because we have these support agencies who will be there at the event.
Excellent. And what is your contact number again as we begin to summarize this and give our prayers for all those that are missing? I understand that it adversely affects the minority black community more so than some other communities.
Yes, it affects the black and brown communities more. So this is a day that they can get some support for. The phone number to call us with any questions or to RSVP for the event is 312-666-0500.
Thank you very much, Doctor, for coming on this morning. I really appreciate you having I really appreciate you coming in, getting up this early morning, being on the show. And we will follow up with you soon to see how this wonderful day has went. And I want to thank you for your service there in Cook County for the examiner's office.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
20 years. Can you imagine that? Our next guest is Dr. Fairweather. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Al. And just to be clear, I'm not a doctor. As a matter of fact, I've been known to make people sick.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you raising my status, but yes, I'm an MBA, but not a doctor.
You're MBA, but not a doctor. But you are an educator and educated. And my understanding is that you're going to share with us some critical information about entrepreneurs, your Entrepreneur Academy, and the various ways in which you help the entrepreneurs and help the broader community to educate them, ignite them, excite them. So can you explain a little bit something about your academy? How long has it been in existence?
So thank you for having me, first of all. And I also like to say how much I really appreciate your other guests. The work that they're doing is amazing and very, very difficult. But the mantle we took up at Entrepreneurs Academy is economic development. You know, when communities are able to take care of themselves financially, it changes everything. It changes where your kids can go to school. It changes, you know, what kind of health care you can get, what type of a vehicle you can get to that job that's out in the suburbs. It just changes so many things. And I'm a patented inventor and entrepreneur myself. And so it was really important to me to focus on trying to raise that economic development level in our black and brown communities. So Entrepreneurs Academy is it's a combination of a business, which is a not-for-profit, but it's really revolving around the program. The program was actually started in 1996. I was brought to Chicago as part of the federal transition team that took over the Chicago Housing Authority in 96, and my job was to take public housing residents, help them start their own businesses and contract with city, state, and federal agencies. And in the 3 years that I was there, we started 143 businesses. We contracted over $78 million with public housing residents, and we employed almost 5,000 people. So it had never been done before in the country, and we won national awards as the best welfare to work program in the nation under the Clinton administration. And because I had developed all those programs, I realized I had a product now that I could really do something with. So the Urban League started courting me, and I brought the programs over there, and then DHS under Dr. Carol Adams, we ran teen reach programs all around the state for helping young men and women start their own businesses. And so as we evolved the program, we've included tech programs such as drones, 3D printing, urban farming, culinary arts, and we incorporated officially as a 501c3 in 2019, and we are now funded by ICJA, the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority, to run these programs, and we're focusing on the west side, the south suburbs, but particular markets with the formerly incarcerated, veterans, and the LGBTQAI plus communities around Chicago. So basically what we do is we take folks that are trying to start any type of business, and we help them get through that entire process. So it's a 12-week program, and they come out with a full written business plan. We're partnered with CIBC Bank so that anyone that graduates the program is automatically guaranteed a low-interest loan. We've got a drone program, which we're really excited about. Apparently, we have the first Spanish drone program in Illinois. And we are focusing on industries that have huge growth potential and are not just livable wages. They're really high-paying jobs. In drones, you could start off at over $100 an hour at a minimum of four hours per site visit. So we really want to make sure that the businesses that we're starting or helping people start are going to be around for a while. And one of the things that we do that's a little bit different than most entrepreneurship programs is we weave mental health into all of the curriculum. As your previous guests were speaking, you know, mental health and trauma is a big thing in our community, and it comes from all angles. And entrepreneurs of color are four times more likely to commit suicide than any other entrepreneur because of the traumas that we experience in our community.
Mr. Fairweather, will you give me one moment? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and then we're going to cover two important things very quickly. And when you come back, make sure you give how they could reach you and sign up for the information. We're going to take a break now. Thank you very much. My Community Plan Foundation.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Saccott Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Saccott Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Good morning, this Sunday morning. I want to welcome our guest, Dr. Philip Fairweather, who is the Executive Director of the Entrepreneur Academy. So my understanding is that you have a 12-week program for entrepreneurs. The classes are open. People are enrolled now. They can sign up ongoingly. And how do they do that? Where do they go to sign up for your classes?
They can go to entrepreneursacademy.net. That's entrepreneurs with an S, entrepreneursacademy.net. Or you can call in and register at 773-295-5365, extension 1. But the 12-week program is our signature program. We deliver curriculum in three ways: workshops, which are one-offs, maybe 2 hours long; modules, which are classes that build on each other over maybe 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, and then full semesters. So we deliver the curriculum in a number of different ways, both in person and virtually.
Exciting. And then with that, my understanding is you have a workshop that is coming in. It's going to be at the Park District on June the 1st.
So we do two large events a year where we bring the community together. We partner with the Park District, the Cook County President's Office, and Chase Bank and several other sponsors. And we take over Mandrake Park, and it's from 12 noon until 6 p.m. on June 1st. So please come out and join us. Mandrake Park is on 39th and Cottage Grove, right next to the Carruthers Center for Entrepreneurship. And we've got a DJ out there. Last year we had over 70 businesses. Many of them were our student businesses. Three of them sold out twice of inventory, had to go home and pick up more product. We've got mental health services, bouncy house out there for the kids. We've got food trucks. But we're bringing everyone together to let people know of the resources that are available within their communities. And we also kick it off with a panel discussion. Last year, President Tony Preckwinkle kicked off our discussions about violence prevention intervention and its impact and entrepreneurial impact on community mental health. This year, we're having a dynamic panel of women who have experienced violence and used that violence to use it as a mental health tool and made it their cause and went into entrepreneurship. So women that have gone to prison and came out and now have a not-for-profit that are supporting women reentering into society. So there's a lot of different ways to deal with trauma, and entrepreneurship is one of those things. And we're going to be having that panel discussion on June 1st. So please come out and join us.
That's a novel idea, to turn pain into gain, a way of approaching it and healing our community. And you discovered this process when you started working over at Chicago Housing Authority back in 1996. Is that my understanding?
So, no, that's where the entrepreneurial program started. But as you can imagine, in 96, we were just starting to use email. So we've evolved the program over the years. I changed the curriculum every semester to meet the needs of the times. In 2013, we started incorporating 3D printing. In 2017, we started bringing drones into the picture. And, we're just trying to stay on the forefront of where technology is going and get that low-hanging fruit that communities of color can actually tap into, but have a little bit of fear of the technology. For example, with drones, well, I don't know how to fly. I'm not a pilot. Yeah, but you know how to game. So you can be a pilot. It's not a lot of math like a lot of people think it is. There is some math, but, you know, we introduce it in a way that it is palatable and achievable, and we have been spitting out some really good pilots over these last couple of years.
And what age levels do you have to be in order to enroll? I mean, if I have a young, spry 18-year-old or 16-year-old who's sitting at home and they're gaming, where do they go and how do they participate?
18 and older, we deal with adults, folks that want to be there, right? A lot of times you'll get kids in high school, they don't even want to be there. So we focus on adults that have a little bit of life experience, have a little bit of an idea of what direction they want to go. They've, you know, they're out of high school and are ready to jump into something that can really completely change their lives. And the best way to get involved in any of our programs is just go to the website. You'll see all the information there, all the dates and times of the classes, and you can register right through the website. And again, that website is entrepreneursacademy.net, entrepreneurs with an S, entrepreneursacademy.net.
This week was the passing of O.J. Simpson, which brought a traumatic experience to our world, to the black community. And I want everyone out there to listen to this clip and to think about where you were when this announcement came.
Almost 30 years ago, when you heard this.
All right, Mr. Cotton, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury?
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon wrongs charged in count two of the information.
That sets our conversation. We won't have much time. We got about 2 minutes to talk about how this trial affected us and how trauma and the pain of this and where you were, Mr. Fairweather, when this occurred and what is your connection to it?
Yeah, so this is actually a really connected situation because I was born and raised in New York, and when OJ was 24, I was 11, and that's when I first started playing football, and he was the premier running back in the league. So he was my idol. He was my first number that I wore. Number 32 was a combination between him and Jim Brown. And I played football till I was 35, so I was very involved in the sports. But I also lived in Los Angeles during the Rodney King riots and the OJ trial. And my father worked in Manhattan Supreme Court and recorded every minute of that trial. Wow. I was actually on one of the bridges that OJ drove under because we were watching the Knicks in the NBA playoffs. And they stopped the game, and I'll always remember John Starks looking up at the Jumbotron, and we realized that he was coming near our house. And me and my boys all ran out the house, ran onto the bridge, and we saw him drive right underneath it. So it was a bizarre experience, and I always remembered that I was thinking that I was going to watch them gun down O.J. Simpson on national television when he was driving to his mother's house. And, you know, it was one of those mixed bags of emotions because this was the first person, black athlete, that had really crossed over. I mean, and he was, you know, during the time of Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, all of those guys, but it was two completely different agendas. And it was just an amazing experience to have witnessed And now to see how his whole story has played out is sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's very sad. I have about 30 seconds left. But on our next show, when I have you come back, Mr. Fairweather, we're going to really do a deep dive on this and how our mental health and entrepreneurial, how we can turn our pain to gain to help cure our community and to better connect them to you. And how can they reach you again?
EntrepreneursAcademy.net. That's entrepreneurs with an S. EntrepreneursAcademy.net. And the phone number is 773-295-5365. And my extension is extension 1. And my name is Philip Fairweather. I'm the president, CEO, and founder of Entrepreneurs Academy.
And we will see you on June the 1st out at the Mandrake Park.
Mandrake Park on Cottage Grove and 39th Street, right in that park next to the Carruthers for Entrepreneurship.
Thank you all for tuning in to My Community Plan Foundation, our world as we see it. Thanks again.